Don't drink the nuclear Kool-Aid. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With my weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. While the presidential candidates trade barbs and accuse each other of flip-flopping, they agree with President Bush on their enthusiastic support for nuclear power.
This is just a transition period. I mean, all of us want to get away from reliance upon hydrocarbons. But it's not going to happen overnight. You know, one of these days, people are going to be using battery technologies in their cars. You've heard me say this a lot, and I'm confident it's going to happen. And, you know, the throwaway line, of course, is that your car won't have to look like a golf cart. But the question then becomes, where are we going to get electricity? And that's why I'm a big believer in nuclear power, to be able to make us less dependent on oil and better stewards of the environment. But there is a transition period during the hydrocarbon era, and it hasn't ended yet, as our people now know. Gasoline prices are high.
I actually think that we should explore nuclear power as part of the energy mix. There are no silver bullets to this issue. We've got to develop solar. I've proposed drastically increasing fuel efficiency standards on cars, an aggressive cap on the amount of greenhouse gases that can be emitted. But we're going to have to try a series of different approaches.
My dear friends, nuclear power must be part of any equation that leads to addressing climate change and also leads to addressing reduction of our dependence on foreign oil. You know, we always love to imitate the French. The French, 80% of their electricity in France is generated by nuclear power. We either got to reprocess it or store it.
Senator John McCain has called for 100 new nuclear power plants. Senator Barack Obama, in a July 2007 Democratic candidate debate, answered a pro-nuclear power audience member, "I actually think we should explore nuclear power as part of the energy mix," he said. Among Obama's top contributors are executives of Exelon Corporation, a leading nuclear power operator. Just this week, Exelon released a new plan called Exelon 2020, a low-cost carbon roadmap. The nuclear power industry sees global warming as a golden opportunity to sell its insanely expensive and dangerous power plants. But nuclear power is not a solution to climate change. Rather, it causes problems. Amory Lovins is the co-founder and chief scientist of Rocky Mountain Institute in Colorado. He makes simple, powerful points against nuclear.
The nuclear revival that we often hear about is not actually happening. It's a very carefully fabricated illusion. And the reason it isn't happening is there are no buyers. That is, Wall Street is not putting a penny of private capital into the industry despite 100+% subsidies. Basically, we can have as many nuclear plants as Congress can force the taxpayers to pay for, but you won't get any in a market economy.
Even if nuclear power were economically viable, Levin says it still should not be an option.
The first issue to come up for me would be the spread of nuclear weapons, which it greatly facilitates. And in fact, if you look at places like Iran and North Korea that one is worried about, how do you think they're doing it? Well, with supposedly civilian technology. Iran claims to be making electricity vital to its development. And a lot of folks, including me, think they're probably making bombs. But you can't tell because it's ambiguous. The same technologies, materials, equipment, skills are applicable to both. The president is absolutely right in identifying the spread of nuclear weapons as the gravest threat to our security. So it's really puzzling to me that he's trying to accelerate that spread every way he can think of. It's just an awful idea unless you're really interested in making bombs. And he wants to spread fuel cycle activities. He's really triggered a new Mideast arms race by trying to push nuclear power with a lot of countries in the region.
Along with proliferation, there are terrorist threats to existing nuclear reactors, like Entergy's controversial Indian Point nuclear plant just 24 miles north of New York City.
It's about as fat a terrorist target as you can imagine. It is not necessary to fly a plane into a nuclear plant or storm the plant and take over the control room in order to cause that material to be largely released. You can often do it from outside the site boundary with things the terrorists would have readily available.
Then there is the nuclear waste.
It stays dangerous for a very long time, so you have to put it someplace that stays away from people and life and water for a long time. And we don't know places like that.
Long time meaning?
Oh, millions of years, most likely. It depends on which isotope you're talking about. Some of them take hundreds or thousands of years to largely decay. Some take millions. But it's a very long time. It's a time of which we have no historical experience. So you try to find the least unsatisfactory place to put it, and you try to characterize what the geology is like to see if you think it's going to stay there. And in the process, you disturb the geology. And so far, all the places we've looked turn out to be geologically unsuitable, including Yucca Mountain.
Testifying at a congressional hearing this week, Energy Department official Edward Sproat said the price of a nuclear dump in Nevada's Yucca Mountain has climbed to $90 billion. Slated to go online a decade ago, its opening is now projected for the year 2020. And even that's optimistic. Utah Democratic Congressmember Jim Matheson wants to block nuclear waste from passing through Utah entirely, and most Nevadans oppose the Yucca Waste Plant. The presidential candidates are wrong on nuclear power. Wind, solar, and microgeneration, generating electricity and heat at the same time in smaller plants, on the other hand, are taking off globally, gaining billions of dollars in private investments. Amory Levin summarizes.
One of the big reasons we have an oil problem and a climate problem today is we spent our money on the wrong stuff. If we had spent it on efficiency and renewables, those problems would have gone away, and we would have made trillions of dollars profit on the deal because it's so much cheaper to save energy than to supply it.
The answer is blowing in the wind.